tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 27th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I had a very enjoyable weekend. I went out with PA West Midlands and PA Wales. We had a joint cultural event. We went to Shrewsbury, where they had a battle reenactment between the Hotspur, I think it was, and the Royalists. I'm not quite certain exactly who it was, but they did have a museum there. But I was enjoying myself so much talking to the other people from PA that I didn't actually go in the museum, which wasn't too clever of me. But we had a wide range of people there. There was a newborn, just been born, a week old there with a mother. There was somebody else with their father there, and their father must have been about 90 years old. So we had a broad range of people there. Just had a very enjoyable social gathering, really. And they had a bird of prey aviary there. So we went and had a look at the bird of prey. And we saw a little Siberian Eurasian owl. And that was outside of its aviary. And it was just on the ground. Again, this was a newborn. I think it was only hatched sort of 6 weeks ago. And it was getting used to humans, basically, walking around them, being in contact with humans. So that was very enjoyable. And as I've said before, PA, the different regions of PA, they have something going on at least every 2 weeks. In PA Wales, we try to do something every 2 weeks, I think, either a protest or a cultural event. There's a protest which is coming up in Tamworth. I think that's the 8th of August. And that ties in with Indigenous Peoples Day, and that so it's White Lives Matter Day, effectively. And there'll be a protest at Tamworth, which will be about two-tier policing. Everybody is welcome. If you want to go to the bi-weekly, monthly cultural events, then you need to join Patriotic Alternative and become part of one of these regional groups. If you're not a known person, then you'd have to have a bit of an interview first to check that you are suitable for joining PA, and then you can join up and you can get involved. Or if you don't want to do that, then I think you can join and be a member of PA, and then you will be told about the camp and the conference, and you'll be able to attend either the camp or the conference without actually joining PA or joining one of the regional groups, rather. We have the Patriotic Alternative Music Club, which I'm a member of. Got quite a high standard of musicianship, so if you play a musical instrument and you'd like to meet up with other nationalists who play musical instruments, then you can also join the PA Music Club. So plenty to be getting on with Patriotic Alternative there. So let's get into the news today. I have an article from GB News here, and the headline is: Taxpayers being taken for fools as report details DEI policing costs have smashed £631 million in 6 years. DEI, of course, is diversity, equity and inclusion. And of course, it really means the opposite of that. It's no diversity of thought. If you have a different opinion, if you have your own opinion on things, then you won't be wanted. Equity is the opposite of equality. It means giving people the same reward for not doing the same amount of work. And inclusivity, of course, it's not inclusive. It will exclude you if you have a different opinion. I mean, it's quite incredible that everything nowadays is based on what opinion you have. If you're only allowed to do things if you have the correct opinion. You can only be a part of society if you have the same opinion as you're told you must have by the mainstream media and the government. And if you have your own opinion and you talk about it, you have to be particularly careful so that you don't use certain nouns or abbreviations that can lead to you being imprisoned. Well, the report calls for a Police Impartiality Act. And to think that we would need a Police Impartiality Act, because we're told that we're all equal under the law. I mean, we expect that we are all equal under the law, but thanks to this diversity, equity and inclusion, we are no longer all equal under the law. And effectively, this is this began really with Tony Blair's Equality Act, which said that every arm of the state had to be seen to be promoting diversity. And of course, you go on from that. Well, how do you promote diversity? Well, how can we make how can we get more ethnic minorities in when these ethnic minorities aren't so good at passing the exams, or they don't have the merit? Well, you have to have a diversity quota. And how are we going to then ensure that they do well and that we keep them? Oh, well, you'll have to have equity then. You'll have to pay them the same amount as the people that are doing all the work, even though they're not doing the work. And all of this follows on, as I say, from this this Equality Act, where everyone has to be seen to be promoting diversity. And if you extend this to the police, well, the police end up convicting five times as many black people as their percentage of the population for violent crimes. So what are we going to do about that? Well, if you say that everybody is exactly the same, black people and white people are exactly the same, and five times as many black people are in jail for violent crimes as their percentage of the population, you could say, well, that must be because we're not all the same, and actually black people are more likely to commit violent crime. Or you could say, well, it must be because white people are racist towards them, and there must be 4/5 of those people that are in prison must be in prison on false charges, which is effectively what DEI tells us. This is what the police are being told. They have to get equity there. They have to have the same amount of black people going to prison as the number of white people going to prison per percentage of the population. Of course, the only way to do that is if you don't actually arrest black people. If you don't investigate crimes that have been reported to you where the witnesses say that the person that carried out the crime is black. I mean, that's the only way that you could do that. Well, taxpayers have been left furious as they have been taken for fools after it was revealed that diversity, equality and inclusion activities have cost police £631 million since 2020. Well, I would say, and how much in life has it cost the black community to have the police deliberately not investigating crimes or not stopping and searching people because they're black? How many black lives have actually been lost because the police haven't stopped and searched someone because he was black? Because they know that black people are more likely to carry out violent crime. But if they stop that person, they'll be accused of stopping black people more than they stop white people. And I wonder how many black people have gone on to be murdered because the police didn't stop and search other members of the black community. A new report from Policy Exchange has highlighted the extent to which taxpayers' money has been spent on DEI rather than keeping UK streets safe. We can say here it's £631 million on the police. But that same amount of money has probably gone on the NHS, possibly more. On the NHS, probably the same amount, possibly more in education. I mean, it will be every arm of the state that is doing this, not just the police. The £631 million figure is comprised of £431 million spent on training police forces across the UK on equality, diversity and inclusion. And again, that would have gone on all these other arms of the state as well. I mean, we heard about how this Valdo Calacane, the black schizophrenic that murdered people on the streets of Nottingham, I think it was. And the reason why he wasn't sectioned is because the nurses that deal with that did not want to section him because he was black. They said, well, we've got too many black people are being sectioned and it looks racist. In order for us to promote diversity, equity and inclusion, we will have to not section this Valdo Calloway character. And of course, what was the result of that? Well, he murdered three people. You've got the same DEI, which is being taught to prevent. And then you end up with Axel Ruda Cabana, and he's investigated by Prevent. And the headmistress calls for Prevent, and she's told, well, you're just stereotyping him as a black boy with a knife. And this is racist. And if we do anything about this, it will be seen as being racist. And the police as well, they caught him with a knife on a bus. And instead of arresting him, they just took him home and said to his parents, oh, just make sure that the knives are in the knife drawer in future. We can't arrest him, because if we arrest him, that will be a disproportionate number of black people that have been arrested, and we could be accused of being racist. So this goes throughout the whole of society. It's not just going on with the police. And all of these organisations will be having this equality, diversity and inclusion training. Even the tax collectors, literally every arm of the state will be doing this. And they're also saying that every company that has more than a certain number of people should also be promoting diversity, equity and inclusion. And all these human resource managers that you have in these big factories and big warehouses and big companies, they will all be going through this training as well. £177 million on internal posts with a diversity, equality and inclusion component. So that's people that have been given a job, and their job is essentially to see how they can replace white people with non-whites and see how they can replace men with women. And I think women are more likely to be employed now than men, so they don't really need a helping hand in trying to get people to employ women. Women are overqualified now. So that's a quarter of the money that is actually spent on training just goes on these posts. This diversity manager for the NHS or diversity manager for the police, they're paid horrendous amounts of money, absolutely massive amounts of money. And effectively, all their job description is find ways to replace white people with non-white people. It's quite incredible that you have a country which was built by white people. The nations within it are white, white nations, the English, the Welsh, the Scots and the Northern Irish. And we end up legislating to create roles in the arms of state whose only purpose is to replace white people. And then you have people still complaining that there are too many white people. The famous Scottish National Party person of Pakistani origin, who I can't quite remember his name right just at this moment, but he was quite famously, he went into a rant about how all these important roles in Scotland, the people that were doing them were white. Well, of course, they're going to be white, because the Scots are a white nation, and they're something like 98% white at the moment, even when you look at the census. So the incredible thing is that you have this group of people, white people, and we've made legislation to replace ourselves. And we're sort of going about this. Our main aim is to replace ourselves as quickly and efficiently as possible. I mean, suicide, this is why I say it's not white genocide, it's white suicide. It's actually being done by white people to ourselves. £23 million went on external training and consultancy. Now, who would be doing the training and the consulting? Well, of course, they would be activists, wouldn't they? They would be anti-racist activists. They're the ones that are giving the training. It's the same with LGBTQ. The schools are told, because of equality law, they need to promote LGBTQ lifestyles as being equal to heterosexual lifestyles. And you've got the school person there says, well, I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about trans issues. We need to get an expert in. So they look for the experts. And of course, the experts are all activists. So they bring in a left-wing extremist, effectively, to talk to the teachers and talk to the children about trans issues, which is, of course, why you have schools believing that there are dozens or maybe even hundreds now of different genders. And this is why you have children being taught things which are the opposite of what they know is the truth from basic biology. And it's because you have activists that are in these consultancy roles. And it will be the same with the police. They will have groups like Hope Not Hate come and speak to them effectively to teach them about diversity, equality, and inclusion. So it's not really a stretch of the imagination to refer to the police as another arm of Antifa, basically, because they've all been through this training. In fact, the people that do a lot of the work for them are Hope Not Hate. Hope Not Hate will monitor people's podcasts. I know they monitor Radio Albion. And if there was anything on there that they thought I could be arrested for, they would give it straight to the police. And they do the work for the police. It's the same in America. You have Jonathan Greenblatt's ACLU work with the police and with the FBI. They tell them who the anti-Semites are, who the racists are, and then the police go after them. So at this late stage in the game, the police are really just uniformed Antifa. And you'll also notice that whenever there are protests and there will be Antifa and nationalists there, it will always be the nationalists that are sent to jail, prosecuted for defending themselves, and it's the Antifa that will be effectively let off. Anna Strickland's researcher at the Taxpayers Alliance told GB News, police chiefs have taken taxpayers for fools by pouring hundreds of millions into EDI bureaucracy while victims wait for crimes to be solved. But as I say, it's not really the police chief's fault because they are just complying with the legislation which tells them that they have to do this. Every hour spent on ideological training and equality box ticking is time not spent tackling burglary, shoplifting, knife crime and violence against women and girls. Not only is it time not spent on that, but the police are actually told that they have to prioritise accusations of racism. This is why Henry Novak bled out on the street on the ground in front of the police, because the man who just stabbed him, Digwa, the Sikh, had claimed that he had been racist towards him. He claimed that Henry had said something racist to him or pulled his turban off. And as soon as that was said, that becomes a critical incident. And that is the most important thing that needs investigating first, is the accusation of racism. So it's not that time is being spent on doing this instead of investigating burglary and violence against girls. It's that this stuff is prioritised over actual violence. The Home Secretary should shut down this woke waste and get police forces back to the basic job of catching criminals, Anna Strickland said. Yes, but again, it actually comes from the government, this guidance that this is what they have to do. What they would need to do is they would have to undo the Equality Act. And I think reformers spoken about doing this. I know that Restore Britain have definitely said that they would repeal the Equality Act. And this is the reason for it. Because people will look at it and they'll say, oh, equality, well, we all want to be equal under the law. And why would you want to repeal an Equality Act? Well, this is the reason why. You know, it has to be explained to people why. Because they say all things being equal, it shows that there must be discrimination along the line there. Because you've got less black people in these important roles, in work, in employment. So they must be being discriminated against. You've got five times as many black people in jail for violent crimes as white people for their percentage of the population. Therefore, there must be discrimination there. Therefore, we have to do something about this, which, of course, is this diversity, equity and inclusion initiatives. So all the while you have this Equality Act and you have people thinking that these discrepancies, these differences between ethnic groups can only be caused by racism, then you will have this problem. I mean, what it boils down to is we have to face up to the fact that there are differences between ethnic groups, measurable differences, statistical differences, which we can look at. We can collect these statistics, we can look at them, we can see that it's not that the police are being racist. We can see that it's simply because black people are more likely to commit violent crime, just the same as it's men are more likely to commit violent crime than women are. I mean, we don't say that the police force is anti-men. I mean, they might be anti-male in a lot of ways, but we don't say because we have so many more men in prison than women, it shows the police force misandrists. Misandry is anti-male, and misogyny is obviously anti-female. We understand, because we understand that there are differences between male and female, and we should understand that there are differences between races and ethnic groups. The report details that since the murder of George Floyd in the United States in 2020, the National Police Chiefs Council and College of Policing published a National Police Race Action Plan, with 73% of the UK police forces implementing their own versions. And we talked about this. I think it might have been Essex, because in the Police Race Action Plan for Essex, it talked about protected groups and non-protected groups. And we were saying white people are a non-protected group. I mean, it looks like it's saying that if you're black or minority ethnic, you will be protected by the police. If you're white, you will not be protected by the police. But what they're actually referring to there is the wording of these acts of law. And they talk about groups with protected characteristics rather than groups that are protected under the law. So protected characteristics would be things like race, ethnicity, religion, gender. And what they're saying is if anybody is critical of these groups, they use a slur word or they threaten violence or something like that, then these laws come into play effectively. So it's not that some groups are protected and some groups aren't. It's that we have these protected characteristics. But the fact of the matter is, in reality, it plays out that some groups are protected and some groups aren't. Some groups get extra protection. Some groups are not even handcuffed when they're accused of murder. In the case of Vikram Digwal, they're allowed to go back home and get some food out of the kitchen, and they're not even put in handcuffs. And that's because he was black, because they didn't want to be accused of being racist. Or say he was black, he was Indian, effectively. So we do have groups that are treated in completely different ways. And it is like some groups are protected and some groups are unprotected. Again, the root cause of all of this is multiculturalism. And because groups are different to one another, there's no way that you can actually get all these outcomes to be equal unless you start penalising one group in order to profit another group. This is why homogenous societies are so much better than multicultural ones. 87% of forces make it an anti-racist commitment or contain other anti-racist objectives or activities within their plans, reducing the ability of frontline operational police officers to be impartial investigators. And that's the important bit. The police are supposed to be impartial, but they can't be if they've signed up to be anti-racist. And what does anti-racist mean? Well, you can only be racist if you're white. So anti-racist is just another word for anti-white. It means persecuting white people. And it means elevating non-whites and effectively putting your boot on the head of white people. I mean, that's what it means to be anti-racist, doesn't it? If you're a white person, you say you're anti-racist. It means that you put other ethnic groups above your own ethnic group in levels of importance, because otherwise you're not being anti-racist. So if white people are not putting our interests first, well, who else is going to do that? Nobody's going to do it, are they? If we're busy being anti-racist and putting black people first, nobody's going to be putting white people first, are they? Black people are already putting black people first. They don't need us to put them first as well. They certainly don't need the police to be doing it. 58% of forces generally frame their plan in the context of policing's history rather than a contemporary focus, thus failing to focus on today's crime-fighting priorities. And, of course, what they mean by that is they look at the statistics. They look at the statistics and they say, oh, black people are being stopped more often than white people. Therefore, that's a racist policy. We have to stop doing this stop and search. And, of course, that just means that more black youngsters end up losing their lives, because the blacks who have the knives that are going to go out and do the stabbing, they're no longer being stopped and searched by the police. Those 24 forces often use a framework of institutional racism or seek to eliminate disproportionality or disparity, which the report states limits the ability to police without fear or favour. And this word, institutional racism, when the Tories were in power, they got a black fellow, Thomas Sowell, not Thomas Sowell, of course, that's the Australian activist. is somebody with a similar name to that who is actually black, and they got him to investigate this, and the results of his report were that although there may be cases of individual racism in Britain, there is no such thing as institutional racism. None of the government's institutions are discriminating against anybody on the basis of race. And yet, despite that report, our police forces still talk about institutional racism. As it says here, 24 police forces use it as a framework for their anti-racist action plan, even though the government has said, well, the institutional racism doesn't exist. So how can they have it as a framework for their action plan? Well, it's because they've brought in activists to tell them what their action plan should be. David Spencer, a former Metropolitan Police Detective Chief Inspector and Policy Exchange's Head of Crime and Justice and author of the report, said Policy Exchange today reveals the astonishing cost of the police's DEI obsession, at least £631 million over the last 6 years. Police forces have sought to entrench the radical ideology of anti-racism into British policing. In doing so, some police chiefs have set policing against its own foundational principle, to act without fear or favour. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, that's a foundational principle there, is that they have to be objective and not play favouritism. And yet the whole ideology of anti-racism is to be playing favouritism with ethnic minorities. This controversial policy-making was driven not by the elected government of the day, nor by Parliament, but was developed by police chiefs behind closed doors. And I would have to argue with that. I would have to say, yes, but it was the police chief's response to the equality legislation that was brought in by the government of the day and was brought in by Parliament. That's at the root of this. And the police chiefs are doing what they're told to do, effectively, by the legislation. The result is more than £500 million of public money diverted away from the fight against crime. This is quite simply wrong. And what are the end results of it as well? I mean, have we now managed to get less crime? Do we have less crime now? No, of course we don't have less crime. We've had to literally stop investigating certain crimes because there are so many of them. We have so many people that need to go in prison that we don't have any room in the prisons. So it hasn't actually solved any of these problems. The changes necessary are so substantial that the Home Secretary must be involved, legislating where necessary. Well, I agree with that. What they should be doing is repealing legislation. They should be repealing the Equality Act. It is a modern-day tragedy that many of our chief constables simply cannot be trusted to resolve this alone. It is time to restore the principle of equality before the law in policing. Nothing less than the fundamental legitimacy of British policing is at stake. And I would agree with that. But this equality before the law, I mean, it wasn't just this Equality Act either, was it? Because when you have hate speech laws, when you have racially aggravated offences, which means that, say, a white person attacks a black person, the black person says, yes, he attacked me, but he also called me a racial slur, then the prison sentence for that white person will be doubled. And effectively, any crime that happens against a black or minority ethnic, if they say, I think it was racially motivated, then the person that carried out that crime against them will get double the punishment. So that's not equal before the law, is it? And if somebody attacks somebody, it should be a straight sentence, regardless of what the motive is. The motive shouldn't matter. I mean, the effect is the same, isn't it? The results are the same of a violent attack, regardless of what the motive is. And for everybody to be equal, you wouldn't have these racially aggravated offences. I mean, it just wouldn't exist. It would be, if you attack somebody, you're going to be punished for it. Not, we're going to punish you double if the person you attack was an ethnic minority, because that's effectively saying that ethnic minorities, as citizens, have more of a value to the state than the indigenous people. The report has called for the Home Secretary to clarify the role of the MPCC and the College of Policing in relation to policy-making functions, which should be strictly limited to matters of operational policing only. The Policy Exchange report concluded that the National Police Chiefs Council and the College of Policing should withdraw the National Police Race Action Plan. Well, I would like to see them do that, but I guess then they would be saying, but yes, but then we're not complying with the equality legislation. You have to give us some guidance on this. Chief constables should follow suit with all local variants. The ideological concept of anti-racism, alongside any sense that policing should strive to attain equality of outcome, should be removed from operational policing and police policy making in its entirety. This is in line with our proposal to legislate for a Police Impartiality Act. Now, I guess perhaps that might work, a Police Impartiality Act. You would say that police have to police without fear or favour and explicitly not supposed to get equality of outcome, but everybody's supposed to be equal under the law. But I guess you would still have this anti-racist ideology there. And what about all the other arms of the state who are showing favour towards black and minority ethnics over the top of the indigenous British people? I think really you just have to repeal this Equality Act rather than bring in something else just for the police. And it's not just a problem with the police, is it? It's a problem everywhere. But at least it's being talked about. At least we have this review, which is highlighting it, and that is a good thing. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.